Hi, this is Tom Payne, otherwise known as Jesus from The Walking Dead, and you're listening to The Walking Dead Talk Through.
Hi guys, this is Nadia Hilker. I'm playing Magna on The Walking Dead, and you guys are listening to The Walking Dead Talk Through. I hope you guys enjoy this podcast, and I'm sending you all my love. Bye!
Hello, my name is Cassie McClincy. I play Lydia on The Walking Dead, and you're listening to The Walking Dead Talk Through. Yeah!
Hey, I'm Lindsley Register, and I play Lara on The Walking Dead. You're listening to The Walking Dead Talk Through on Talk Through Media.
Hey there, guys. I'm Callan McAuliffe, and you're listening to The Walking Dead Talk Through on Talk Through Media.
Episode 127 of The Walking Dead Talk Through. I'm Brian.
And I'm LT.
And Kyle is dealing with, what is it, a harvest? hazelnuts or something?
The reality of living on a farm.
Yeah. So he's unable to be with us tonight. He should be back with us next week. But we are here to cover Season 11, Episode 4 of The Walking Dead, titled Rendition. But first, we had a little bit of feedback for last week's episode, Season 11, Episode 3, Hunted. So let's hear from Rick and Simon.
We can talk about it.
We're done talking. Time to listen.
All right. So we got some feedback, kind of speculating over the last week about Episode 3, Hunted. Megan from Williamsburg, Pennsylvania, chimes in. She says, I think the charbroiled walker hanging under the Judas sign will be revealed to be Elijah. I'm going with the theory that he was a Reaper who defected to Maggie's group, hence the mask. They grabbed him in the woods and set him up scarecrow style. I think that's an interesting theory, but was the other prisoner that was in the holding area, was that Elijah or was that somebody else?
I didn't see him that clearly.
Yeah.
Since we had someone who did receive a charbroiling this episode.
Yeah.
I'm tending to think it was Mr. Face in the Fire.
Oh, so the time. Yeah, that's very possible. Yeah.
Quite so, because This happened before last week, so.
Yeah, that's very possible, and they, they switched the times around. So, that actually makes sense. I didn't even think of that, LT. That's a good theory.
Well, and I figured that, unless they're just in a crispy critter kind of vibe, I just figured that was a very convenient corpse to have, crispy and hanging around.
Yeah. Yeah. It actually makes a lot of sense for it to be, what was his name? Bossy, I think.
Yeah. Something with a B.
Yeah. I think it was Bossy. I think of Mike Bossy, the hockey player, but according to the captions, it's spelled differently. Anyway, good thought. Although I think that the, Elijah was the guy that was in the holding cell for this week, but it's a good, would have been a good theory without seeing, what we just saw. So, all right. So let's move on to this week's episode, Season 11, Episode 4, titled Rendition. It's written by the co-executive producer, one of them, Nicole Morante Matthews, and directed by Frederick E.O. Toy. And as I said last week, he directed the previous week's episode and has a big long list of TV credentials. So the description from AMCPlus.com is as follows, and I have something to say about it later. Daryl and Dog get captured by the Reapers and reconnect with a familiar figure from their past. I think they, I don't know, it could have came up with something that was not so straight on.
Yes, yeah, so, something that was a little less spoilery, perhaps.
Yeah. All right. So, LT, what did you give this episode?
Well, this week I'm giving it an 8.5 out of 10. Daryl Dixon, Apocalypse MVP.
I enjoyed this episode quite a bit, particularly, well, I'm not going to say what, but I gave it a 9 out of 10 ex-girlfriends with shady backgrounds.
Indeed, sir.
Yes.
Indeed.
And thank you, LT, for the assist on that one. All right. So, listener ratings.
All right. Well, Dieta from Detroit says, I rate this episode 7 out of 10. Daryl is the new Carol. Playing the part to infiltrate the Reapers. Well, he better be playing a part.
Is Daryl the new Carol or is Daryl the new Negan?
See, I think Daryl is still Daryl. Because yeah. how many times has he been recruited by other groups?
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah, Daryl is the new Daryl.
That's what I'm saying, man. Yeah. He's the Apocalypse MVP.
Yeah.
Your fantasy survivor team.
The Claimers.
Everybody wants.
Yeah. Yeah, because he was part of the Claimers. Glynis from Toronto gives it a 6 out of 10 face-off.
And Renee from Atlanta says, you know what? I don't even have a number for this mess. That's just how much I dislike this episode. With eye rolls.
And Negan wasn't even in it.
It's true.
Yeah. All right. So let's move on to Awesome Sauce.
Awesome Sauce.
And you know what's funny? Because last week, Kyle on the Lower Decks podcast, he gave a similar rating to one of the episodes that LT and I did. He couldn't give it a rating. So anyway.
Okay. We'll start off with some listener awesome sauce. Dieta from Detroit says, I didn't see any awesome kills this episode. Just another crazed maniac with masked up followers. Nothing to see here. Yawn. So nope, nothing awesome.
I'll give the next two. Glynis from Toronto is next. She says, Dog is still alive. I guess she was worried about the, after seeing the sneak peek. And then Renee from Atlanta, she says, nothing that I can think of because this overzealous cult leader plot is so redundant that it's sickening. And she has three, I guess, puking face, and puking face. How many times have we seen this before? Question mark, question mark, question mark. Thinking face, thinking face. I'm over it. Mad face, mad face.
Well.
Yep. I have, I've heard that before. All right. Well, I'm going to give my awesome sauce. You know, it's funny. During the, you know, 10C, I said to myself, we're going to see that Leah. You know, but over the course of, you know, watching Fear and, you know, then the time after that and, you know, Walking Dead coming back, I'd kind of forgotten about Leah, to be honest. So having her be a part of the Reapers was unexpected. But at the same time, given the fact that, you know, the hints we had about her background, it makes so much sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, at least from looking at him, I'm not familiar with the actor that is playing Pope. His name is Richie Koster, and I know what you said, Renee, but okay. Whether his character is redundant or not is beside the point. His portrayal, I thought he was awesome in the role. It was understated in a way, but terrifying nonetheless. And when I researched him, I actually found that two things I was surprised about. First of all, like looking at him, I thought he had to be like 10 years older than me. And it turns out he's 6 months younger than me. and that he's English.
Well, of course he's English, because
yes. He's on the Walking Dead.
Well, no, I was going to say, we can't have anybody on The Walking Dead with a Southern accent that's actually Southern, can we?
Yeah, that's true. Well, we've had a few, like Herschel.
Well, I'm still saying most of the people that have pronounced Southern accents are English on The Walking Dead.
It is true. He's willing to put Leah at risk just to test Daryl, shows how ruthless he is. I can only imagine what he'll be like if Daryl turns Leah like I expect him to, you know, but when he put that guy in the fire, I mean, I was like, oh man. So anyway, I will agree with, Renee, and I'll say this, well, I won't say it, but I do agree with you, which I'll agree later, but, his portrayal, I think, is really good. So if they're going to do something I've already done before, at least do it well. And I think they're doing it well. So
yeah, I'll give you that.
That's it for me.
My awesome sauce, I'm going to give the Reaper some points here, because we finally get a group that has strong, effective leadership. Everybody is, you know, pretty well trained of a skill set. And I think that's why they've survived. Now, granted, they're doing evil, ruthless things. But now let's think about this for a second. If you look at even our group, if you look at the Saviors, if you look at all these other folks, you had someone who was a strong leader, but yet they didn't all necessarily have a strong survival skill set.
Right.
Now, you look at these guys and you're thinking, from what Pope said, these are probably all veterans, maybe not necessarily military veterans, but they're like, you know, contractor types. So they know how to fight. They know how to survive. They know how to operate as a cohesive unit. And while I think we'll find out whatever they did, you know, whatever happened between them and Maggie, I think that the Reapers are finally a group where it's not just, it's not just a bunch of like criminals or scumbags that are together for some mutual benefit, but they really don't have a lot of serious survival chops.
Right.
Because even the Claimers, you know, they were basically a bunch of roughnecks.
Right.
You know, they didn't necessarily have all the skills or the mental discipline to function as a unit. And I didn't take it so much as they're a cult as that these guys are a very tightly bonded bunch of people. And it just so happens they do have a charismatic leader. But I think they're going to be interesting to deal with for the rest of this, because right now they are operating in a position of strength. They have the skills and the training, as opposed to, you look at the Alexandrians, you have a group of people that have survived and bonded together, but they don't necessarily have, you know, the same patterns of experience, let's say. So it's going to be interesting. And I think that it was really, it was good to see the group. I've got a couple of things to complain about later, but, we'll get to that when we get to the appropriate sauce eye.
Yeah. All right. Is that it?
That is it, sir.
All right. So let's move on to weak sauce.
You're worthless and weak.
All right. Renee says, she calls it, I don't give a heck sauce. I could care less about the Pope. The Pope. Just like I could care less about Teddy Bear. Sounds familiar? Fear the Walking Dead just did this same storyline. Ah, Teddy. Okay, right. Right. Yes. That Teddy. Okay. I could care less about Daryl's girlfriend, who does not even look the same. Well, she is older, you know, so more gray hair. These just happen to be the same people she told Daryl about when they were in the cabin playing house, and that they became separated somehow. The Purge people, found her again. She's okay with the Pope burning her brother, her words, and she's okay with him setting the place on fire with her and Daryl in it. Come on now. This is too merch. Misspelled intentionally. Smirk, smirk, e-face.
Okay. Well, Deanna from Detroit says, the leader of the Reapers. They are doing so much to build him into this crazy, terrifying character, but it was just a miss with me. Shrugs. I just feel like he was trying too hard, especially when he started that long, drawn-out speech with the Bible verses. He lost me. Tuned him right out. I don't know, but maybe I'm suffering from villain fatigue. Yawn. Yeah, I'm over it already.
Yeah, I know where you're coming from here, so... LT, well, I guess I'll give my weak sauce first. I already kind of mentioned it, but the episode description was a dead giveaway as to how this episode was going to play out. I mean, who else would, come up if it was Daryl and Dog, have a familiar face, you know?
The ghost of Merle.
The ghost of Merle. Well, but that wouldn't be Dog, though, right? Dog didn't know Merle.
We don't know. Maybe Merle's ghost has been talking to Dog psychically.
Oh, okay. Okay. Leah didn't seem to know who Maggie and the rest of them were, or maybe she did, but didn't let on at first. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a question that I had. You know, why is it that, you know, like that one guy said, Pope marked you. So why is it that they don't seem to know who Maggie is? I don't understand that.
Could be.
This next thing is a bit of a time. It's, you know, on Fear of the Walking Dead, the show's had a lot of time and distance issues. And this is more of a time issue. Now, the war in Afghanistan was going on, you know, for quite a few years at the time of the apocalypse. But it would have only been going on about 9 years. So not, you know, the eventual 20 years that it ended up going. So I am wondering, is 9 years enough time for these guys to have been, you know, there so long and then be military contractors so long and then come back and be back home so long. That was the part that I wondered, there was actually the times, because, you know, you're telling this story in season 11 and you're thinking of it, you know, well, Afghanistan essentially just ended. So you're thinking of it, you know, how these soldiers might have been in 2018, but they didn't come out of there in 2018. They came out of there in 2010. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Well, and I would just say that, just sort of counter to that, a lot of the guys that I know that would have done a tour in Afghanistan in, you know, 2010-ish may have already been to Iraq previously. So, I didn't have so much of a problem with that just because of the cadence and tempo of things since, you know, 2002 or so.
Yeah, yeah.
So that wasn't such a big deal for me.
I didn't necessarily have a big problem with it. I just question it, I guess.
Yeah, it's still back to our old fear thing of time and distance.
Yeah, more time on this case, but.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, for me this time, I guess my weak points was we finally got towards the end of the episode. They finally said that they were in Meridian. Mm-hmm. Did I just miss them saying they were dragging Daryl with the bag on his head to Meridian? You know, there wasn't like there was a sign that said, welcome to Maggie's destination or something. They mentioned it towards the end, and I guess either we were supposed to just assume it or.
Well, it's funny. I had that in my what sauce, and I had missed that they had, mention that it was.
Yeah, they did towards the end, finally. And I guess my thing was, okay, so now we know where they're holed up. It just made me think that the way it was presented, I was expecting them to be, you know, shacked up somewhere else. I didn't realize that once they had gone to Meridian, they had taken Meridian and kept Meridian.
Mm-hmm.
I guess as far as weak sauce goes, I thought it was kind of dramatic about the whole, you know, putting Leah and Daryl in a shed and setting it on fire. But, you know, just from a practical standpoint, I'm going, you don't have a fire department and you're setting a building on fire that's in the middle of your settlement. I just kind of was going, probably not the best idea.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Because with my luck, it's like, oh, well, we set the shed on fire to test somebody, and now we've, you know, burned down the granary or something. Sorry for me being practical-minded, but that's just one of the things I thought of. Or I hope they have a sawmill so they can build a new shed the next time they have to do test time. I think it's an odd use of resources for, you know, indoctrinating kids into your club.
It is.
I'm gonna throw it out as weak sauce, as I've mentioned previously. Why is it that it seems, well, as I said, every time you have someone with a pronounced Southern accent, they happen to be English on the show. And B, why is it we must adhere to the old trope that the evil, you know, the evil bad guy has to have a drawl? I, for one, am standing up and saying, no more, man, no more. I will not be stereotyped by my accent. But as far as the rest of it went, I'm going, dog, man, you traitorous canine, you. After all this time, you've been hanging out with Daryl, and the first thing you do is you run back to mama. Said, what happened? I guess it's, you know, not quite man's best friend. It's like man's buddy.
Yeah, exactly.
And that was really about it. I mean, I guess the other bits were, we were complaining about the Commonwealth's, I don't want to say hazing ritual, but, you know, we were complaining about the process to get into the Commonwealth. Mm-hmm. Well, at least they didn't waterboard Eugene. I mean, I understand they're a tough bunch of guys, but it's just they're very serious about letting people in the club, I guess.
Well, I think they were trying to test him and see
if he's got the right stuff.
Yeah. All right. Let's move on to our what sauce.
What?
And listeners, we should try to explain, we only have a limited amount of time this week, so we're going through things kind of fast. So, in case you didn't notice that. Deanna from Detroit is next, and she says, so Daryl's boo-thang is a reaper. She called them her family. Looking up face.
Those are eye rolls.
Eye rolls. I never get it right. I'm so bad. Really a group killing and terrorizing people just because, or did I miss the part where the wannabe preacher quoting Bible verses said it was a reason why they are lurking in the woods, killing people, minding their own business? Thinking face ?3.
Okay. And Renee from Atlanta says, TWD, you do realize this is the last season. And while I know you're not going to be able to knock all the episodes out of the box, I don't expect for you to use the same plots that you have used over and over again. I'm sick of these nutcases, Negan, wanting you to join them or die. The answer to you guys' question from last week, if I would prefer my enemy to be on my side or the other side, definitely the other side. I definitely try to choose the right side. If I know you're a bad person, I do not want you on my team, period. because I don't trust you. I do it every day in real life. I send you on your merry way if you don't mean me, my family, and my friends any good.
Well said. Then Dieta replied, we get a little bit of an exchange going on. So we wanted to, it was a good exchange. So we wanted to give it to you. Dieta replies to Renee. She says, exactly. You said what I was thinking, but I couldn't get it out. Rolling over laughing face, rolling over laughing face, rolling over laughing face. Hell, that previous episode with her, I barely remember what was said. That's how interested I was about her and Daryl's relationship. Not. And how about I kept staring at her like, damn, she looks familiar. Depending on how the camera hit her, she looked like June from Fear the Walking Dead. Did anybody else get that vibe?
And Dieta replies to Renee and says, I could definitely see her looking like a younger June. TWD needs to get it together because this is it. The end. I would love for it to go out with a bang and not end up like my favorite other show, Game of Thrones, because the ending of it definitely sucked. Eye roll.
And Dieta, I have to agree with you on that. I did not like the eighth season of Game of Thrones, especially the ending part.
And I was going to say, yeah, she did have a couple spots where she could have passed for Jenna Elfman.
Yeah, I agree with that. And, you know, it was like, I did this take where it's like, I don't remember her looking that way. And then when I watched, I think it was Talking Dead, or it was either Talking Dead or now that I got AMC Plus. And listeners, I did that last week because AMC Plus, I just was tired of going and having to watch all the commercials, especially when I'm trying to do, a rewatch. I don't have time for that stuff, you know, especially when they give you twice as many commercials on the episode than, you know, you see. So I wanted to, you know, shorten the time takes. And I just was like, okay, I got this. So it could have been on, there's like a little analysis episode that they do after the episode. So it might have been on that, but they showed Leah somewhere in one of those two. And it's like, oh, that's why I didn't recognize her right away, because her hair color was completely different. So I guess it was more gray, or at least made to look kind of gray.
Yeah.
So, all right. So I'll give my what sauce, but the first thing we already covered, which was, is this Meridian? And I guess you'd heard that it is Meridian.
Yeah.
Where did they say that?
It was towards the end of the episode. You know, at some point I heard the guy say it.
Yeah. Cause I had wondered that, as I was, watching it. I don't know if it's like right away I was wondering it, but.
Well, it wasn't, like I said, it wasn't like a big comment. It was just something as an aside.
Well, it was one of those things, though. It's kind of like I was watching them kind of, okay, are they at Meridian or did they move out of Meridian? And if they moved out of Meridian, why did they move out of Meridian? Did they move out of Meridian to get at Maggie? And if they did that, why? You know, so I wasn't sure. And if that's Meridian, why do they call that place Meridian? The other thing, I got two other things. I'll go with the next thing about the Reapers. What's with the guy speaking in tongues? I didn't understand that. Like, you know, okay, religious, obviously there was some religiosity going on there. They believe themselves to be the chosen ones. And I hate to say LT, but that's where I kind of disagree with you about it being a cult. That's where it's culty, you know, with the whole, you know, we're the chosen ones and all that. But the thing where the guy was speaking in tongues, I was just like, okay, that's that's weird. And, you know, when I first watched it, I was like, what the heck is he speaking? And I'm thinking, is he speaking like Arabic or, you know, I don't know what the language is in Afghanistan. Is it Farsi or is it something
it's
else?
It's like Farsi or Urdu or.
Okay. Well, anyway, you know, is it that? Is it something else? But when I went back and looked at it, turned on the captions, it said speaking in tongues. So I'm like, okay, he is speaking in tongues. So anyway, I didn't get that. And it made me just kind of go, that's weird. And the last thing, I was trying to figure out why Daryl kind of did like the best thing I can call it is cleaning himself off in the Walker guts. Obviously he wasn't doing that, but I guess he was trying to, like, I don't know, put some of the scent on him.
It was gut poncho light.
Yeah.
Cause we've seen it go from they're wearing a tarp and they coat themselves in it to this is just like, I don't know, a junior high boy putting on Axe after gym class. You know, it's just like a little on the hands, a little behind the ears. So I guess maybe he just wanted a little bit of funk so that he could stay upwind and not have an issue. I don't know.
Yeah. All right. LT, do you have anything?
You know, we've already pounded most of my points in the week. The only thing about what that I will go with is, so if there were so many people in Meridian, if Meridian was such a big camp, where did they all go?
Yeah.
And that was sort of my thing is, where is everybody? Are they locked up in the cellar? Are they dead? Are they all hanging from lampposts somewhere? It just, the way that Maggie talked about it, Meridian was like a big settlement and it looks big, but you know, they've got what in the Reapers, maybe 20, 25 guys.
Mm-hmm.
You know, did they take out all of the people that live there? You know, it just makes me wonder where all of the other people are.
Well, I think they're dead.
Well, that's possible, but I'm just still wondering.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess if this is the place that's got all the food and all the stuff, you know, it just makes me wonder how much of the stuff has already been eaten.
Mm-hmm.
So I suppose we'll find out.
I suppose we will. All right, so let's move on to our sad sauce.
Aww.
We only have, well, two, but only from one person. Renee from Atlanta says, the whole damn episode. How many times can poor Daryl get captured? And last, so we're waterboarding people now on TWD? Really? Really? And of course, there's a rolling eye face. I can't get it right ever.
Yeah, well, you know, you're trying.
It's that one thing I can't seem to get right. Anyway, what do you have?
Well, my one bit of sad sauce that I have is Agatha. So when they were coming into the gates of Meridian, who did we have hanging from a pole but poor zombie-bitten Agatha?
Oh, that was Agatha.
Mm-hmm.
I did not realize that.
And full credit to someone on the internet, but I saw that and I thought it was her when I first saw it because of her hair.
Mm-hmm.
And then I did get a confirmation this week that it was indeed Agatha. So my point is, so wherever we were, whenever Maggie ran up on the people, and I can't think of his name now, the big guy.
Oh,
yeah, him.
Yeah.
But it just makes me think that they were closer to Meridian than I thought, and I'm kind of going, we made good time.
Yeah. Yeah. Either they, you know, they made good time or they've got some kind of, I don't know.
Yeah. Or she wandered, she wandered up out of the woods and they decided to hang her on a pole. But
yeah,
again, we'll complain about time and distance again.
Yeah. Duncan.
Duncan, because I kept wanting to say Cole, but Cole was the ponytail guy.
Yeah, and Cole was the guy that got his throat cut, like, right away.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, he got shanked at the end of the previous weeks, and then he got his throat cut the next week. So,
Anyway, as far as the sad, I don't know. I guess you could say it was kind of sad that Leah lost her brother, if you want to. I'm kind of searching here, but also, you know, the guy that brought him back, I don't know, it seems like it was a lot of what's his name, Pope was going by a hunch there, and you know, just a long way to go to do something like that, I guess. So sad in a way. Anyway.
Right. Well, and I guess the last thing, just a sidebar to that, is people complained about Negan being ruthless, but all he did was fry Dwight's face with an iron. He didn't kill him.
Yeah.
Now, he did stick what's his doodle in the furnace, but I think Pope is going to be way more cutthroat.
See, the thing is, Negan didn't, you know, he would kill people, but his thing was that he wanted to kill the least number of people possible.
Right.
You know, like he was all about like doing effective, you know, selective killing, I guess you could say.
He is the one that said people are a resource.
Right. Right. He thought, you know, if he killed, you know, just, you know, like certain, you know, people that were causing, you know, disturbances or whatever, you know, it would get everyone else to fall in line. And,
right.
You know, so anyway, it's funny how after years and years and years of, not defending Negan, I find myself defending Negan. I don't know. It's funny how things have turned, because I know those first couple seasons, I was not a Negan fan.
Oh, yeah. And we've gone from bad guys to worse guys.
Yeah.
You kind of have to up the bad guy ante each time and make them a little bit worse than the last one.
Yeah. All right, so I think that's it for our sad sauce. So now let's move on to our listener feedback again.
We can talk about it.
We're done talking. Time to listen.
Our first bit of listener feedback is from Renee from Atlanta. She says, I am a diehard TWD fan, and I try not to be too critical, but I really don't see the point of this. Now, if this is somehow leading me to Rick, I'm all for it. But if not, please hurry up and shut this shit down. You guys stay masked up and enjoy the rest of your week. And three hearts. Well, thank you very much, Renee. And you do the same. And I agree to a point. To this, and when I say to a point, is I would, you know, really like there to be some kind of point to this rather than just be another bad guy,
right?
But I don't know. Like your point aside, that this is kind of the first really like organized or, you know, trained people that we've come against versus who we've come against before. So I do agree with you that way.
Yeah.
All right. Next.
Okay, Deanna from Detroit says, I don't have much to say, just wasn't feeling this episode. I was tripping on how Leah joined the Reapers out of all the groups she has to come across. You choose the Reapers? That doesn't even match who she was when she made her first debut. So now we are supposed to believe she's a killer following a religious fanatic? It's not going to last between her and Daryl. He is either going to kill her or somebody from our group, Maggie, is. Hope Daryl's plan to infiltrate the Reapers works out for our group. Overall, okay episode. Wasn't one of my favorites.
Well, I think for me, it's believable based on the fact that Leah had indicated that she was in Afghanistan prior to, being in the apocalypse, so she had already mentioned this. Now, she didn't mention that she was a mercenary, but, that's probably not something that you lead with, even in the apocalypse. So, I can buy that she was mercenary because, I hate to say it, but a lot of them do that. From what I understand, there are people that come back, they don't function well in, society anymore. They've got PTSD, whatnot, and they can't hold down a real job. And, they get offered a deal, and it allows them to do something that they're really good at, things that most people don't want to do. And I'll
just say it's not a real job. It's a civilian job.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing about them is if you have a bunch of people who all serve together or served overseas, they sort of can relate to each other more so than somebody who wasn't there.
Right. Like what kind of job would they be doing?
Like in theater?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the contractors, just from buddies of mine that did it, they had people that would run security for trucking companies. They would do convoy escorts for various things. They'd do base security. They did a lot of stuff that regular military folks would do, but they were sort of working for the State Department rather than for the Department of Defense. That there was a good friend of mine who spent 18 months in Iraq training Iraqi policemen. So that's, and that's some of the things that they did. They did, like I said, they did convoy escorts. They did security. They worked, there was a group of guys that worked security for people that were building buildings.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a lot of the stuff that they would do, and they would be paid by these independent companies.
Right. All right. Our last bit of feedback is from Glynis from Toronto. She says, Daryl keeps losing his girlfriends one way or the other. Beth, taken by that hospital group. Connie, missing in action as far as Daryl is concerned after the mine explosion and collapse. Leah rejoining her old army group that she was with in Afghanistan. So Daryl has also had a hard time with the various groups. He had an issue with the new guy, Rick Grimes, way back with handcuffing his brother Merle on the roof in Atlanta and leaving him there. That's a good way to put it. Yep. The Claimers, the Termites, the Saviors, the Whisperers, and now the Reapers. It'll be a treacherous slope Daryl will be climbing to act as double agent in the Reapers and glean the info to assist the survivors and literally keep out of the fire. Yeah, because I know, when he was with the Claimers, he wasn't double agent because everyone was kind of like separated. He didn't even know that the rest of them were mm-hmm. still around. So it was only when they came across Rick did he know that, Rick had even survived. So,
yep.
Daryl's torture is way more radical with the Reapers with waterboarding than the Saviors breaking him emotionally with the continual playing of Easy Street to convince him to say, I am Negan, and attending to the Walker defense system on the Savior's fence. However, both Negan and the Pope like fire to punish. Negan's hot iron to the face makes the person live with their punishment, though Negan also threw that doctor into the fire too. While Pope strikes me as a person who will always kill whoever crosses him, imagined or real, he won't waste time with punishments and goes straight for the kill by fire. I wonder what the Reapers think Maggie's group have done to them, real or imagined, as it seems a little extreme that the Reapers are hunting them down and killing them all. Is it just because our Maggie's group broke one of the Reapers' rules, or they were in the wrong place at the wrong time? I had wondered that too. We kind of were wondering that question, you know.
Yep. I think that's just they were there.
Yeah. Leah strikes me that, because actually, you know, at one point I had thought that maybe it was a racial thing, right? Because they saw Herschel and Herschel was, you know, biracial or something, but that can't be it because we see that, you know, it's not a white extremist thing because there are not just, you know, not just white people in the Reapers. There are, I saw, you know, Asians and blacks and Hispanics. Yep. So it's definitely not that.
Nope.
Leah strikes me that she is just going through the motions of adhering to the Reapers' rules and look to be taken aback a bit when they locked her in with Daryl to then escape and be so-called forged by fire. I wondered about this too. I think she kind of realized what had happened, and you know, after kind of being mad about it, then she was kind of like, "Oh, that's what this is. Okay, you know."
Yep.
That was how I took it. And then I think she might have started to change her mind when Bossy got pushed into the fire, because if you remember, she was kind of trying to defend Bossy, you know, saying it like, you know, that's enough, you know, whatever. And Pope was not going to have enough. Anyway, continuing, she says, I see the end of Pope by death by fire by the hand of either Daryl or Leah, and watched on by Maggie and Negan, and get Carol in there too, since she's also burnt a few people at the prison in TWD's season 4, episode 3, Isolation. A few saviors were also burnt alive in season 6, episode 13, The Same Boat. Oh yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm. Maggie, that's right. I forgot about that. And a few more saviors in season 9, episode 6, Who Are You Now?, where the saviors led by Jed had stolen Carol's wedding ring and hit Henry, who was just trying to protect Carol. Hmm. Okay.
Good points.
Hmm. Yeah. Forgot about that point. But yeah, that was, I remember that. That was on the road. She like really burned them down.
Yep.
Yeah. So are the survivors really just as bad as these other groups they've crossed paths with? I suppose it depends on the circumstances. The survivors did kill the group of saviors at the satellite location, but that was only to try and stop the saviors from killing more people at the hilltop at the time, as a 16-year-old hilltop member had been killed, whereas the Reapers kill apparently innocent people at any communities they come across. We sure get the wild and warped religious fanatics on both The Walking Dead and Fear the Walking Dead, but often it turns out just to be a front to control their followers. Hmm. Yeah, I don't know. This time it does seem to be a religious kind of thing, but I don't know.
Well, it's just it's the thing of what's going to hold your group together when society collapses.
Yeah, I don't know. To me, it is kind of a lot to believe in.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. That's it for our feedback this week. Do you have any other notes you want to bring up?
No, sir, I do not.
I don't either. So let's move on to our news ratings and info.
There's a couple weird stories on the news.
Okay. Well, unfortunately, we've got ratings for this week, and they are down, even down from last week's low ratings on Labor Day. So, well, although the number of viewers is slightly up, it got a 0.46 in the 18 to 49 with 1.884 million viewers. That's 0.67 in the 25 to 54 and a 1.06 in the 50 and over. So,
yay.
So some things it's above and some things it's below. So, for example, in the 18 to 49, it is slightly below at 0.49, but slightly above 1.873 million viewers last week. In the 25 to 54, though, it is slightly below a 0.74, but it is slightly above the 0.98 50 and over from last week. So
it's however they do that math, man.
Yeah, exactly. The Talking Dead in the 18 to 49 numbers got an exact same 0.12 both last week and this week. This week it got 700,000 viewers, down from 731,000 viewers. And the Parrots, The Walking Dead, went down one notch this week from number two to number three. This week, the Rick and Morty actually jumped up two notches from number four to number two, going up to 67.8 times, up from 46.1 last week. The Walking Dead last week, or this week, got a 53.3 versus a 57.8 last week. So down slightly, but it would have been down to number three if it had stayed the same, because Rick and Morty jumped up so much. I don't know if that's because, I don't know, the season's ending or something. I don't know.
But yeah, I think this may be the last season for Rick and Morty. So. Mm.
Okay.
And I would like to bring up one point very quickly, that while SpongeBob is still on top, it's down from last week.
It is down. Yes. And I believe it is down from the previous week as well, although I'd have to check that. But yes, SpongeBob, the perennial number one in the U.S., is down slightly, but still number one. So
there you go.
We do have two more bits of things. First of all, they're fear related. There was a new trailer that was released this week for Fear the Walking Dead Season 7, like a more extended trailer that featured Morgan and Strand at odds. So it looks like we're going to see Strand possibly playing the villain this season. That's how I interpreted it. But I don't know. Did you get to see that
trailer? I saw that one, and I've seen a couple of other trailers that were just that had like that civil defense commercial in the background.
Oh yeah, the smaller ones.
Yeah,
shorter ones. I mean,
I've seen the shorter trailers, so I think they're definitely spinning it up. So it will be interesting once Fear gets here.
Yeah, and there was also we probably didn't mention it, but there was also an extended trailer that got released the week before for World Beyond. So I maybe have seen that one time.
That I've seen that one a couple of times.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's going to make me like the show anymore, but it seemed to be pretty interesting with what they leaked in the trailer.
Mm.
So we may actually get to see the Civic Republic outside.
Okay. Yeah, that's seeing the, you know, the three, you know, well, of course, we don't know if any of the Omaha, you know, whatever they called themselves in Nebraska, whether or not any of that is still, you know, around, but we're going to probably get to see some of the Civic Republic and maybe find out where they are. You know, are they like Syracuse or Rochester or Albany or something like that? I don't know.
Yep.
So anyway, that should be interesting. The other thing I wanted to mention is, since I mentioned about Strand, Coleman Domingo mentioned, and again, this might have been last week, but we didn't talk about it. Coleman Domingo was interviewed and he mentioned that he pitched a Fear spinoff and it would kind of be Strand as James Bond in the zombie apocalypse, which sounds interesting. I know that Coleman Domingo is going to be a producer this season on Fear.
Well, that'll be interesting.
Yeah. So he's going to have more, I guess, creative input on the show. And I know, you know, he's been directing episodes now. So I guess his role will be expanding a little bit. So, and of course, you know, like Coleman Domingo's a playwright and a director, you know, on his own. So,
right.
Yeah. And he was just in Candyman, I believe.
I think you're correct.
Yeah. I haven't seen that, but I've heard that he was good in the role. So, okay. Well, that's it for our news. This is a shorter episode this week. So, LT, why don't you take us on out and tell people how to contact us?
All right. We want to encourage you to follow us on Twitter and Instagram. That's at Walking Dead TTM. To submit your theories and feedback, most people post in our designated episode thread in our Facebook group. That's facebook.com/groups/walkingdeadTTM. You can email us at walkingdead@talkthroughmedia.com. You can also use our feedback forum on our website. That's at talkthroughmedia.com/feedback. If you'd like to leave voicemail, you can do that at area code 216-232-6146. As we've been saying, all of our new episodes go out to YouTube first, so just search on Talk Through Media and remember to subscribe and click the bell to get notified when the new videos arrive. All those YouTube videos will go out before the regular podcast does.
However, you can get them even faster if you are a member of our Patreon group. So what we've been doing the last couple weeks on our Patreon and on the Star Trek Patreon group is we've been distributing a rough cut of the episode with very little editing performed. And we just take that recording and send it up. So you know, we do a light, you know, noise reduction and compression and, you know, get rid of some silence and there it goes, you know, that's pretty much what goes up. So, and that's worked out real well. And, you only get that if you're a member of the Patreon. So speaking of that, we'd like to thank our Patreon supporters, and you may know a couple of them, Clint McCollum, Renee Murray, that guy over there, Lawrence Todd, and the other guy that's not here tonight, Cal McAdams. And, you know, I don't belong to the Patreons because I'm always, my money goes into the site as, you know, just regular anyway. So whatever the Patreons don't cover, that comes out of my wallet. So anyway, so remember that, Clint, Renee, LT, Kyle, you guys get an episode earlier this week. It'll be when Kyle, who's doing the editing for us, will get it out. So Anyway, subscribe to us in Apple Podcasts or the podcast client of your choice. And while you're there, give us a rating review. And you can also give us a rating review and a like. I bet you thought I forgot about it, but I didn't say, because I didn't say it right away. Our Talk Through Media Facebook page. And that's at facebook.com/talkthroughmedia. But you can also give us a review at podchaser.com, where you can give reviews of the podcast or individual episodes. Remember to share our posts on Facebook and Twitter when we post, and on Instagram as well. Word of mouth is the best way to get us new listeners. And I've been taking a more active role with our Instagram accounts for the network, and been posting them up. I usually post them up the next day to say that we've had an episode come out. All right. So myself, Kyle, and sometimes LT you'll hear on the Star Trek Lower Decks podcast, which you can get as part of the Star Trek Discovery podcast. So you can go to StarTrekDiscoveryPodcast.com or just simply at TalkThroughMedia.com. And that also has a Patreon by going to Patreon.com/Brian and Ruthie, because that is a part of the Star Trek podcast that we have. Discovery, Picard, and Lower Decks. So, and soon to be
Prodigy.
Prodigy. Yes. Thank you. I did a blank there. Our next episode is season 11, episode 5. It is titled Out of the Ashes. It is written by Latoya Morgan and directed by, I didn't get the person down for some reason. So I guess we'll say TBD. The description that I got from amcplus.com is as follows. Alexandrians encounter hilltop squatters. Interesting. Eugene's group undergoes orientation at the Commonwealth. So until next time, I'm Brian.
And I'm LT.
And this is the Walking Dead Talk Through. Good night, everybody.
Good night.